Welcome to TASBOcast, the official podcast of the Texas Association of School Business Officials. We are the trusted resource for school finance and operations. Hello, this is Tom Greer, Chief Communications Officer for TASBO. In today's episode, we cover the remarkable career of Lackland ISD's Becky Estrada. We discuss a range of topics from her start in school business to her plans for the future. And she also shares an update on EDGAR and how the fiscal manual originated. Enjoy.
Okay, today we have Becky Estrada, Chief Financial Officer for Lackland ISD, former board member and TASBO board president, and 2014 Commitment to Excellence recipient, and our newly awarded Outstanding Volunteer. We'll revisit that honor shortly. So before we get started, I understand there's some timely news in your career. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, gladly. I'm at my 45th year in public education, and decided it was time for a transition. So it's actually a second retirement from Lackland ISD, and looking to transition to something different, still being involved, and not going to leave Connect anytime soon. So don't worry, folks. I've already had that question a couple of times. I'm not leaving Connect. I will be connected.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be relieved on that, especially TASBO staff. One of the reasons why this award, this Outstanding Volunteer Award was bestowed upon you was for things like TASBO Connect. And I wanted to point that out, TASBO Connect, since you brought it up, the online community. TASBO Connect's been around, I think it's now in their sixth or seventh year. And I from being working from the ground up, I have to say that your contributions have been much appreciated.
Well, thank you, Tom. I love Connect. I can't say that enough. It's almost like this, question pops up in Connect, and I'm so anxious to answer, especially if I know off the top of my head. People probably think I sit here and wait for a question just to answer it. But if it's a quick answer, I love to just answer right away. Sometimes if it takes a little research, then I'll wait a little bit. And then I know I was so engaged at the beginning, and it seems sometimes now that I've kind of slowed down a little bit. But that's a good thing. And the reason I've done that intentionally is that sometimes members would tell me, well, Becky, I was waiting for you to respond. And now I'm so excited to see so many people respond and share that that's what it's all about. It is truly supposed to be, and it is a community. So, I'm just excited that it got off the ground. It's so interactive. People are sharing information. I'm getting information from it. Sometimes I'll go back to the search and say, hey, I remember that topic came up. Let me see what the latest is on it. So it truly is a tremendous community and resource for all of us, me included.
Well, like I was saying, in February, staff bestowed you with the TASBO Outstanding Volunteer Award. You're now the fourth honoree, and it's basically rewarding members who have demonstrated a lifetime of exceptional service to our association. And, working with Becky Bunty, who gave you a great introduction and gave you the award virtually at our annual conference, we were talking about things like your board service, your contributions to the certification program, both developing the standards and also the curriculum and the teaching the courses. Indebted to you for the master calendar, which is a huge deal. Developing a fiscal manual, and we'll get back to that in a little bit because there's an update on that. Of course, TASBO Connect, management reviews, right? You've done quite a bit of those. Mentoring. Right. Did I leave anything else out? I know it's kind of somewhat embarrassing to talk about yourself, but there's just so many different things that you have done for TASBO and your colleagues.
I think that's it. I mean, I could have just a long list of what TESPO has done for me. So it kind of goes both ways. Being able to share so much, whether it was curriculum or teaching, it really empowers me to be able to learn so much, you know, because I always say we learn by teaching. So I think all those exposures have made me a better CFO. So again, it really has gone both ways. I've been blessed to have lots of opportunities to share and provide resources and expertise to TASBO, but it has really come back twofold to me.
Well, I remember that conversation I had. I was lucky enough to film your Commitment to Excellence video back in 2014. And I believe I had a conversation with your superintendent at the time about why he lets you do all this volunteering. And it's because it helps you you bring back that knowledge back to the district and also the connections and the big picture. So when people are, unfortunately, some people can't travel, they can't, in today's day and age, they can't, you know, donate extra time in addition to work and family. They miss out on so much by not going to different areas and learning what other districts go through.
That is so true. I think if I had to, thank my superintendent now and all my previous supervisors, that is one of the tremendous opportunities for them to have empowered me to become the best CFO by being exposed to everything. And I think especially in my current district now, they are so accustomed to, Becky, what have you heard in Connect? What did you hear at the conference? And they are so used to, sometimes I think they want to turn off their email, because if I'm sitting at a conference and I'm listening to something, I am emailing them during the conference. Oh, look at what I just heard. Or here's this information. This is coming down the pipeline. So I am actively working while learning. So again, yes, that is very true. I have had so much opportunity to attend, and I would encourage every supervisor, every superintendent, every CFO, the more we allow our staffs to engage and to participate and to lead, especially through TASBO, makes them so much better at what they do. I truly believe that. And I think that's kind of where I come from. I was so fortunate to be able to do that early on. I've just become stronger because of it.
Well, you're talking about things like current events and hot topics that come up. I know one of the things that our professional development team is working with you on is the fiscal manual, and particularly the EDGAR manual. Tell us the difference between those different manuals, what they are for, what is new with the EDGAR manual.
Okay, great. Yes, definitely. Well, both of them were born a long time ago. I would say the fiscal manual was born probably 20 years ago. And I always joke about it as saying that the fiscal manual is like this 30-page document, at least mine is, and the TASBO template. And it's this broad A to Z topics of how we manage school business. We get a donation. What do we do? Okay, you look to see, you know, do you need board approval based on thresholds? You end up having to comply with certain requirements. So in cash management, all of that is embedded in that, but it's a very broad look at procedures. And the reason I created the original one probably 20 or better years ago was that it was almost as if I kept telling people what they couldn't do. And I thought, and you know, put it in front to say, this is what you should do, and using it as a teaching tool. So it made it so much easier to put the rules down in writing, even though I'm in an itty bitty district. Having the rules in writing, there's consistency, there's transparency, and people can follow that. Fast forward to 2015, when the EDGAR regulations, federal regulations over grants, first were implemented, then all of a sudden, everything we've always done fiscally was kind of on steroids, because now we had to do things a certain way. We've always managed grants, but now there were all these definitive rules as to what we had to do. I can't remember, it was 200 or 300 page document, PDF. And I always joke about it. I went on a train trip from San Antonio to DC and took my computer, took my Wi-Fi, and on that trip wrote that almost 100 page manual. Just looking at what we do in school business and what we needed to do now that was different with EDGAR. fast forward to 2020, November 2020, the Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education, changed some of the regulations. Those new regulations from November 2020 have now been embedded in what is version 4 of TASBO's EDGAR Manual. And in that, one of the biggest flexibilities that caused excitement for me and for many others is that instead of a $10,000 threshold for purchasing, what we call a micro purchase, that can be as high as $49,999. Great flexibility. And there's many other new things in there. But again, all that has been embedded in there. There's also a very important tool. DEA has been auditing school districts, so we need to dot our I's and cross our T's. They've been auditing school districts on federal grants, and they have a TEA internal controls questionnaire that they pretty much say, district, we're going to audit you. We need your procedures manual, and you need to tell us page and paragraph of where you are complying with the EDGAR regulations. So I've now taken their document and put in the page number to the reference to answer their question in the TASBO template. So I think that closes the door because districts used to ask me, well, Becky, how compliant is it? And I would tell them it's EDGAR compliant and it also has a lot of best practices. So now I feel so much better that I know everything the DEA expects in that new EDGAR manual. So that was a really big thing. And we're sharing that with everyone. Anyone that enrolls for that training not only gets a user guide, kind of like pre-work to know what to fill in the blanks, they get the template, they get this TEA internal questionnaire, and they get a slew of draft procedures and forms that I've used over the past, and they get all of that with the training as added value.
And we're expecting to offer these at Summer Conference in Round Rock, correct?
Yes, we are excited about rolling out actually both the fiscal manual and the EDGAR manual, and an opportunity for myself and others to go ahead and facilitate folks filling out their books and customizing it for their small, medium, or large district. And believe me, over the years, we have had many school districts purchase the training and the template and are using it in very small and very large districts.
Hey, thanks for talking about that. And we're looking forward to actually having a completely in-person event at Kalahari Resorts in Round Rock. They have a kind of a, I don't know if you've ever been out there, but they have a separate convention center for, you know, basically the meeting rooms. And then they got the hotel. And then for the people that want to, they got the giant indoor water park. The big difference with this training and some of the other trainings that we've done, this one's going to be completely in person. And from what it sounds like, the hands-on fiscal manual workshops, there's an added advantage of being there in person.
Yes, most definitely. We've held this one virtually, but I agree. It is very effective when it's face-to-face because the way we roll it out is like an hour, hour and a half of training, talking about the why of the manual, the components, the updates. And then basically we let everyone loose to work. We tell them, okay, we've given you some training. We've set the stage for you. The rest of the day is for you to actually work on and complete your manual. Sometimes I'll see school districts send one person. Sometimes they'll send a team of people. They're purchasing, their finance, and maybe their special grants person will come as a team because it's really a collaborative process to fill in the blanks and know how they're going to manage grants. So it works very well that way because every time I facilitate it, basically what I do is move throughout the room literally all day long from table to table as folks will ask questions. And sometimes there's teachable moments all throughout the day because someone will, you know, say, well, Becky, what about XYZ? And I'll stop everyone and say, you know, this is a really great question. Let's talk about this. So when you get to this in your template, you know this. So it is an opportunity to not only facilitate, but actually to continue to teach for the whole day in little snippets of teachable moments. I just love facilitating that.
That's good. We're looking forward to it. You talked about, you know, where you developed all this and all the things that you've done in your career to continue to learn. And honestly, we could talk about it for hours. Tell us your origin story. How did you get your start in school business and get to where you are today?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, I always look to my parents. I think that's how I started with my passion, you know, passion for hard work and passion working literally out in peanut fields, believe it or not, year round, and watermelons. We grew lots of crops. So
where was that?
South Bear County. My dad farmed for 50 years and five kids. We were his helpers. We were unpaid labor. So, you know, we worked all summer, but they were so strong in education and instilled that in us that I think that's where my passion for learning came from. And I looked at my TASBO transcript one day, and I've taken lots of courses. But I remember back in a clear as day, 2002, Patty Griffin challenged me to teach with her, to co-teach. And we were in Corpus at the convention center, beautiful view. And we co-taught. I was on a high for, I would say, a week or two after that. I just so enjoyed it. I'd taken so many classes, but I really hadn't ever stepped out there to teach. And when I did it that time, I just loved it. And I have not stopped. I've just continued ever since then. So I thank her for that first opportunity to do that. And sometimes that's all it takes. I'm teaching at a summer conference, and I'm teaching with someone. I'm co-teaching one of those days with someone that has not taught before. She's excited. I'm excited because we need to continue to mentor and grow our instructors. So just like I had Patty mentor me back then, I'm excited to do that and co-teach with someone to get them out there. We need to continue to do that every day.
Well, this year, the TASBO board and part of one of our goals is workplace development. But getting back to how did you get your start?
While I was in high school, I took VOE and vocational office ed is what we used to call it. And I was an officer. I was an area officer, went to state competitions and stenography and all sorts of other things. And always had that passion for the accounting courses I had taken then. When I got out of high school, I worked as a paraprofessional at that same school district for a year, then transitioned to another year. So fast forward over 45 years, I started out at first as an educational aide, then a secretary, and then went to college full-time while working full-time. And that's pretty much when I made the transition. I was taking, believe it or not, 21 hours of coursework per semester. Yes.
And you were working?
And I was working 40 to 50 hours a week. And the reason I did that, it sounds silly, but I waited 10 years out of high school to go to college that I had to pay my own way. And because I did that, it cost the same for 12 hours as 21. So I said, I'll just take the 21. I'll finish sooner. So I did finish sooner. And I took a lot of CLEP tests and picked up a whole semester with CLEP tests, which
helped. That makes sense.
Yes. So you pay a fee, you take a test. If you're proficient, you move on. So that was good. So when I went to college full time is when my superintendent in a prior district moved me from an HR secretary position to manage the data processing center. The director had just left, and she pretty much plucked me out of there and put me in there the next day. She said, Becky, you're one of the only ones that knows Lotus 1-2-3 in the building. And I had self-taught myself on that in the 70s. From then, and that's when I made the transition. Then I went to DP director. Then I went to business manager, assistant superintendent, and now CFO. So really, I always think about it that it was in high school getting that vocational training and then later just settling on that as a career. Who knew? You know, I was, you know, in doing accounting when I was in high school and a lot of leadership, you know, treasurer positions, and then to managing millions of dollars for a school budget.
That's amazing. Since I've been here, which is now for 12 years, you've always been at Lackland ISD. How long have you worked at Lackland?
Actually, 19 years.
Okay.
Is my 19th year.
So where were you before?
I was at Southside ISD as assistant superintendent for finance and operations. District was about 2,500 kids when I got there. When I left, it was about 48. And I was responsible for everything I always say other than curriculum, police department, transportation, maintenance, food service, custodial, et cetera. That's why sometimes folks will tell me, well, Becky, how do you know so much about those different areas? Well, I led those areas in that smaller district. And my first district, and 45 years has only been in three districts. My first district was Harland Hill ISD, also here in San Antonio. And that's where I was a secretary in the HR department, then data processing pretty much after that. So pretty much between those three districts, that's where I've gotten, you know, all of my experience. That district at that time was 22,000 students. And we had a PIMS conversation not too long ago, and I actually started working PIMS in 1986 when it first came out. So lots of years overseeing directly as a PIMS coordinator. So again, a lot of that experience kind of just goes back to exposure to so many different facets of school business over that career instead of being in one area. So very fortunate in that respect to have been able to see so many of the different operations.
So you're definitely a lifetime San Antonio native.
Definitely am. All of my education has been here. College education, my bachelor's, my master's, everything has been here in San Antonio. I venture out every now and then, but I love home. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where I grew up. You know, looking back at San Antonio, and I don't think it's a coincidence that last year we honored Bill Fuller, Amador Garza, and Marilyn Young. And Bill and Amador were from San Antonio and part of Alamo Area ASVO. Tell us a little bit about the legacy of Alamo Area ASVO and what it's meant for the people there and then also TASVO.
Well, that's a great point and observation. Knowing Amador and Bill very well and consider them dear friends, they are among the pioneers, as we call them, of Alamo Area. The organization has been so strong and so well attended for so many years. And what I like, we had a meeting, I think, a couple of weeks ago and you know, virtually, and I listened in, and there's so much fresh, new blood excitement, you know, of the new leaders coming up. So I like to see that. But I think that's a lot of it. And maybe it's because there are 17, 18 school districts in one city that we all kind of come together to collaborate. If you think of Dallas ISD, it's one huge district and a bunch of huge suburbs, what used to be suburbs. But in San Antonio, that might be part of what makes us like one big family. We move around sometimes between the districts, and we tend to know each other because there's so many in one geographic area. But just the passion of everybody, I think what's also strengthened us over the years was the Kerrville Conference, because that was a kind of a homegrown local thing that was done for many years. And everyone really came together to try to pull that off. So I think that's where you see a lot of that. Just a lot of interaction, a lot of collaboration. And I think geographically, because we're close, is part of it. And the other is just everyone's passion for sharing information.
I love talking to Bill and Amador. They volunteer just about every year at annual conference. And I know Bill worked at Northeast ISD, and we did figure out that he probably went to my high school graduation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to Churchill, and he went to all the graduations, along with Gwen, who was working there when I graduated high school. And it's just such a small world, and it's just amazing how, you know, things go full circle like that. So, no, San Antonio is a great town. It is changing. Probably a lot in the last 10 years. And it's, you know, it's not, I always liked it because it had a small town feel. And hopefully it'll continue to be like that.
I still feel it does. And maybe because I stay in my own little part of San Antonio, I don't venture out too much, but it still has that feel for me. It still does. And I think it's the area and the people we surround ourselves that makes it feel that way. I think that's a big part of it.
We'll finish up with our 75th anniversary of TASVO. One of the things we're asking people is, what makes TASVO and its members unique? And, you know, I don't know if you've been a part of a lot of different associations. I know when I came into TASVO, it was such a pleasant surprise to me to come in from the private sector to work with TASVO members who were so professional and polite. That's one thing from my perspective. I was very, to this day, I'm very grateful to work with. But what are your thoughts on what makes TASVO and its members special?
Well, I have to say it starts with the TASVO leadership, you know, and inspiring us to to connect with each other and striving to connect us. I mean, I will always be so grateful for Connect and that opportunity to do that and to have that network, because that helped a lot. I think a lot of it is just, as you said, I mean, Tasbonians are good people, you know, good people at heart, wanting to serve the students, wanting to do the best they can, whether they're in maintenance or finance or any of the different areas we represent. And I think the sharing, the feelings of sharing and success, I think we all feel that if one succeeds, we all succeed. And it's that constant reaching out to each other, answering the questions. It used to be via phone before, then it grew to email, and now sometimes it's Connect. But I think that's part of it. We're not in competition with each other. We are supporting each other and trying to raise each other's school district and raise each other's, you know, the profession itself. So I think that's why, you know, I can call any one of my peers and ask them for something, and they will respond. And likewise, I love doing the same thing. So I think we're trying to help all of us succeed, and we're doing everything we can and not expecting others to reinvent the wheel. It's not like, oh, those are my procedures. You can't see those. You can't have those. I've never seen an organization that not only promotes the sharing, encourages it, and now has a platform for us to do that very thing, for the mechanics of it, where anyone has access to just go and get those resources. That's tremendous in my mind.
That's great. I think we'll close the podcast with that. And just want to appreciate your time. I know your schedule is very busy. And I wish you and Lackland ISD the very best.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the transition. I'm looking forward to some amazing person coming into Lackland to replace me and to springboard and do even better things. So good luck to whoever comes in. I'm looking forward to walking out sometime soon.